what somebody taught me, but what it says. And I do that quite often. And so I was thinking of, you know, when we talk about, oh, we're coming to worship. Today during our worship service. And so I got thinking about that. I decided I was going to do a little study on worship. And so, here you see people in different types of bodies. What is worship? In discovering what worship is, we also find out who can be worshipped. The answer to this question is important, not only because Christians should know what worship is, we also find out who can be worshipped. The Hebrew word shaka and the Greek word proskuneo account for more than 80% of the appearances of the word worship in most English versions of the Bible. So these are the two words which we want to be concerned ourselves with, although the Greek word laturio also means to serve and is used and is expressed in the English Bible as the word worship as well. The word worship is sometimes not what we think it to be. No, we think it to be singing. We think of it as being, as praying. We think of it as the acts of the things that we do when we come together before God. But that's not necessarily what it means. The Hebrew word shaka means of bowing or low prostrating oneself, often before a superior or before God. In the King James Version, is translated by a number of different English words. So when you see these words, worship, or bow down, or obeisance, or reverence, those are all forms of the word shaka in the Hebrew, which means to prostrate oneself or to bow down before a superior. The Greek word proskuneo comes from the Greek word for pros, or to, or toward. Nekuneo means to kiss. Literally means to kiss the hand. And so when we worship, we are prostrating ourselves to the point that we're kissing the hand and honoring the one we worship. To fall by the knees and touch the ground with the forehead is an expression of profound reverence. Moses worshiped, using the word shaka, his father-in-law, whom he respected and honored in Exodus 18:7. Abigail worshipped, again the word shaka, David, who she honored him by prostrating herself before him. When I say the word prostrating yourself, that's lying down, face down, and at the feet of, or just in honor for the one that you worship. Although people no longer just want to full bow before the Lord, people bow their heads in prayer as a sign of respect. It is important to realize that both biblical and modern worship is bowing down. The outward act of bowing reveals the inner heart of respect and honor. So when we bow our heads, for instance, in prayer, as what the voice said as before they led the prayer, we bow your head. You know, it is our modern day version of lying prostrate. Or I remember when I was growing up, my a lot of the men in my congregation, they would bow when they would lead a prayer, such like they would go to one knee and bow that way and lead the prayer as a sign of respect, as a sign of honor to God. And so we just need to know when we bow our heads before God that we are literally worshiping. Couple of examples that I have for today. Genesis 33:3. He himself, talking about Jacob, went on ahead and bowed down, here's the Hebrew shaka, to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother Esau. You remember that Esau was coming and Jacob was very afraid of Esau that he might do it harm after he stole his birthright. And so he wanted to show that he honored his brother. He wanted to bow down before his brother to show respect and to give his brother honor. Now that's not God, but it's still considered worship. Matthew 18:26. The servant fell on his knees, proskuneo, before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. We know this is the story of the great debt that was owed, and when the servant came to him and approached him, he bowed down, prostrate, bowed down low before him as a sign of respect, honor, and humbleness, and offered his request to be patient, so that he would pay him back. John 4:24, God is his spirit, and his worshipers must worship him, proskuneo, in spirit and in truth. So, we are to bow down before God, according to this passage in John. We need to humble ourselves, we need to show respect, we need to lower our heads before them. In a lot of cultures, this is done on a regular basis. You know, the Chinese have a culture of bowing, and the Japanese as well, that where they will bow to somebody to show respect, especially if they were superior to them in status or in position. If we honor and respect a friend, that our actions show that by our focusing on him, by focusing on him and not only ourselves. Similarly, we show our respect and honor for God and Jesus by giving them our focus, our time and attention. So part of this bowing is the obeying, focusing on that which we are bowing for. It's putting our mind on them and not on our own things. But focusing on the one that we honor. Whether we fall prostrate, go to one knee, or just bow our head, it needs to be a gesture of respect and obedience with our focus on the worship, not on ourselves. It's the inward honor that we're paying to the outward person, or king, or a president, or God. Acts of worship, the worship service, going to church. Those are all phrases that sometimes make us think in one direction. But really, what are acts of worship? The act of bowing before God in various ways. The worship service, it's a service of bowing before God, usually in prayer. And to go to church. Well, unfortunately, worship has become an act that is performed each week by people who think church is a building where traditions of rituals are acted to fulfill some sort of service. Let me read that again. Unfortunately, worship has become an act that is performed each week by people who think church is a building where traditional rituals are acted to fulfill some sort of service. This is a very Old Testament way. It's very ritualistic. It's very, by the book, follow the numbers, page inside the lines, and do a series of things each week in order to perform a service or a ritual or what sometimes is commonly called a worship service. But those acts are not the worship. It's the contrite heart. It's the humbling. It's the bowing that make worship. In Acts chapter 2, starting verse 41, you'll see there are some words that I've highlighted a little bit. And these are things that are part of our bowing before God. Then those people who accepted what Peter said were baptized. About 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day. They spent their time learning the apostles' teachings, sharing, breaking bread, and praying together. The apostles were doing many miracles and signs, and everyone felt great respect for God. All believers were together and shared everything. They would sell their land and the things they owned, and then divide the money and give it to anyone who was in need. who share their food with joyful hearts. They praise God and were liked by all the people. Every day the Lord added to those who were being saved to this group of believers. This is a snapshot of what the church should look like. This is a picture that we can look at through the scriptures of what the church should look like. It's learning. It's finding out what I don't know about God's will for my life. It's taking the time to seek out the truth and make it a part of who I am. It's teaching. It's those who have the ability to share with others what they know and help expand and promote God's message, whether it's in our gatherings or whether it's in our communities. It's taking the time to teach. It's sharing. It's sharing and not necessarily in a commune type of way. This is almost like it becomes a commune, but it is a community. It's a community of believers. And so they share with one another, willingly, happily, joyfully, it says, with one another. As they see that somebody has a need, they cheerfully open their home or give them or fulfill their needs. Breaking bread together. Probably the only place that I have been able to find, and I'm not even sure if it was done in this way, we did a lot of public prayers. And I think we were talking about this, or I was talking about this with somebody the other day in one of our Bible classes. Where in the Bible does it give an example of somebody leading a public prayer? The closest we come to is when Jesus gave thanks. It says, but I don't even know that was a public prayer. It really doesn't say. But prayer is personal. Prayer, when someone comes up here and asks to lead a prayer, engages a prayer, I appreciated Juquan's prayer for the collection, because it was more personal for him. And he prayed for things that were going on in his life, what he needed, in his life. And sometimes I feel that's what we need to be doing as well. We need to be thinking about when we pray for the bread and wine, that we're praying our prayer to thank God as somebody else publicly leads us in that prayer. It's just one of the things that I kind of haven't been able to find, is public prayer. But I've seen a lot of personal prayer. And I've seen people bow and prostrate and pray. Everyone felt great respect to God. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. That's why we're gathered together, to show great respect to God, to honor Him. That's what true worship is, bowing before God and making our focus totally on Him. Not about what's going on with us, not about, what page, I can't find the page number in the book. It's about the message. It's about the internal expressing externally to God. They met every day in the temple. Now, this was a common location for them to meet in. Now, I'm sure they had jobs, just like we have jobs. I'm sure that there were times where they could not meet together, but I think they made a real effort to find a time where they could meet together, as many of them as possible, and the gathering place would be in the temple. by this group of people who they didn't know them necessarily, but they didn't have to know them to know that they were going to share their love. They were going to share their food. They were going to share their message with these people. So this, to me, is a snapshot of what the church should look like. This wasn't a service. It was a fellowship on a daily, not weekly basis. It was sharing, education, mission-minded, and Christ-centered. I think those are the things we need to strive for when we assemble together. The fellowship, to share our faith in Christ, to learn more, to educate one another about Christ, to go out to our communities mission-minded and to share that with those outside as they did. And it's all centered on Christ. It was love your God and love your neighbor. It was the church. And that's the essence of Christianity. That's the essence of the church. Right here, we see it. It's love the Lord your God. It's loving your neighbor. And be willing to share what you have with them. To reach out to them. And to share God most of all with them. This is what worship is, bowing down before God in reverence. Our assembly here is about fellowship. It's the gathering that they talk about here in Acts chapter 2. And when we choose to bow down, it doesn't have to be just here. We can choose to bow down wherever we're at. I choose to bow down sometimes, and I know Jimmy has talked about this before. Now, when I'm driving on my way to work, or I'm going somewhere, and I think about somebody who is struggling, you know, take the time. Now, I don't close my eyes because that would be dangerous. But you don't have to close your eyes. There's no instruction that says you must close your eyes when you bow. But it's that respect. It's that talking to God. I hope that we will be that kind of a church. Is it even possible today to be that kind of a church, at least if we read about Acts? And what would it take to accomplish it? I know here at Echo Hills we're striving for that. I see it. I see that we are not the ordinary people that just pull up into the parking lot, come in, spend some time, and leave. But that we're involved in one another's lives. That we're involved in the lives of our kids. That we're willing to go on campaigns and missions and communities and support missionaries when we can't go. So I think it really is possible to move more in that direction. And I'm going to conclude with Romans chapter 12 from the New Century Version. So brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as living sacrifices to Him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to Him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you, and you will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. Awesome scripture here. We have to change our thinking. We have to be willing to change our thinking. We need the God model, not our own personal model of who God should be. When I'm teaching at school, I talk to my kids and about, you know, when you have your box, and you're in your box. God is in this box over here. When you choose to become a Christian, when you choose to live for God, when you choose to accept the offering of Christ's death and resurrection, then you go over and step into God's box. You step out of your own. It's a commitment act that said, I want to be a part of Jesus Christ. If any of these are needs that you have, please stand and sing and come forward.